love and remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Tonight's scripture readings from John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Good evening, folks. It's a rare occasion I get the privilege of speaking before you, and I hope my words are worthy of repeating. My sermon tonight is entitled Words. I don't have an overhead. I'm a little archaic when it comes to that sort of thing. So I'm not above a good overhead display, but in my lack of time to prepare, I did not do that. So if you would get your Bibles out and be prepared to follow along with me, and we'll break into God's Word. Let us first go to God in prayer, if you would. Let us bow together. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity here to break forth your word. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we do so. Open our hearts and minds and help us to be receptive to the things you would have us to learn. Help us to store them away in our hearts for an appropriate time. Help us to recall these things that we may share them and enlighten others and inspire others and give them hope and peace. Lord, we ask you to be with us always, and these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Alrighty. Words. What are words? If you stop and think about it, we take a lot of our language and our communication for granted. Words, by definition, are a series of sounds, maybe even gestures, accompanying with them to convey an idea, some sort of meaning, some sort of purpose, you know, you're trying to put forth. Our words are very important. A sermon, such as this, is just a collection of words. We try to gather the right words at the right time, in the right tone, the right inflection, to put forth an idea, to give you a feeling for what I'm trying to convey to you. So words are very important to us. Now, words can be dealt with or distributed in such a way that they could be inspiring, they could be discouraging, they could even be fearful. You know, our words are a very powerful thing, and everyone has them, not just me. I like to claim I'm a man of few words, but some people would argue that fact. Those that know me well know I have the gift of gab when given the opportunity and knowledgeable of the subject. So, with that in mind, let us just break into the Word, which is God's Word, our Bibles, which is God's love letter to us. His words to us. So we're going to read a little bit tonight and discuss what words that we've read and ponder those. If you would, let's turn together to Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Now this is Paul's instructions to the Colossians with regards to their words. So if you turn there with me, that is Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. So it's important that our words and our speech is savory. Seasoned with salt makes it savory. It's, you know, it's tasteful. It's appealing to someone. So your words should be appealing when you use them. Oftentimes we use words in our everyday life. If you're like me, currently, my current job, I jokingly tell my coworkers, they're paying me to talk. because I'm a coordinator in this task I'm doing at work, so I do a lot of talking. So it's important that I talk clearly and convey information and share facts, you know, in a manner which is conducive with coordinating a particular effort. So we all do that, you know, from time to time. We talk to people, we share information. And it's important that we do that in a Christian fashion. When I say that, you know, our words can be very powerful. I mentioned that already. You know, depending on how you use your words, you can inspire someone, you can discourage someone, you can show someone love, you can show someone hatred, even. I'm not here to preach on a negative connotation, but I'm here to encourage you tonight to use your words in a manner worthy of God. Now, as Christians, we are enabled. We have within us the power of life and death in our words. And you say, Tim, that's pretty powerful statement there. But it's true. If you stop and think about it, each one of us, you know, we study the Bible every week. We listen to preachers every week. We are saturated with the Word, with God's Word. And as Christians, we have an opportunity to share that Word each and every day. Each and every day. You know, it may not be opportune. It may just be a matter of saying a prayer at lunch. It may be a matter of just saying how thankful you are for something, or how you're worried about someone and maybe you're praying for them. You know, and people hear that and they know and they see the concern, the love, and the compassion in your words. The words are very powerful. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're familiar, this is commonly referred to as the love chapter. And it says in here, it's subtitled as Love is Indispensable. I mentioned our words can convey love. So as we read this passage, keep that thought in mind. And I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give of all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part and prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I quoted that entire passage to emphasize the fact that of the importance of love and how our words can convey that love. And it's instilled in us by reading God's word each and every day. And we need to make sure that our speech is seasoned with salt, that it is savory, and it conveys love. Our words, as I mentioned, are very, very important. Now, if you would, let us go to Romans chapter 12. Follow along with me. Romans chapter 12. We'll read some more from God's Word. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, as one body, with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It's also important, also very important, that we convey ourselves with our words in a manner conducive with being Christians. So, in 2 Timothy 2:15, that we are encouraged to study to show ourselves approved, you know, workmen worthy. So, as we read and as we study, as we take these things in our heart, we remember to use our words accordingly. You know, as you go through life and you deal with people, oftentimes in difficult situations, we say and do things that we reflect on later and say, man, I wish I hadn't said that. You know, it happens. It happens to all of us. You know, in moments of passion or frustration or even when you're happy, you know, oftentimes I'll say silly things when I'm happy, you know, and you think, geez, that was a funny thing to say, you know. But our words are also powerful. If we speak of what God has promised us, of the promise that we have in Christ Jesus, we can give people hope. We can speak hope to them. We can speak of the peace that we have being in Christ, the love that we have in Christ and the peace that it instills within us. We can share that with others and give them peace as well. We can inspire others that are struggling, fellow Christians that are going through life. You can encourage them with words and with God's word. Our word should always reflect God's word. We can speak love, as we mentioned here in chapter 13 of Corinthians. That God is love. If we speak of God, we're speaking of love. Some people do not have love in their lives. They struggle through life lonely and tired and depressed. They don't know love as in true love. We can convey that to them with our words. We can show them a pathway. We can lead them to the light, per se, with our words. The world's a dark place, and sometimes we are the only light that people see. So with our words, we can lead them out of the darkness. Don't underestimate yourself. Sometimes the smallest thing that you say can make a huge impact in someone's life. Every one of us can probably reflect and say, I can remember what someone said to me once, and it really lifted me up, or it really inspired me, or it really encouraged me. Words are all so powerful, so powerful. They can touch lives. They can save lives, literally and spiritually. We can draw people out of the darkness and out of their sin-filled lives and out of their tragedies just with our words. And every one of us has that capability. We all can speak. Some of us aren't as eloquent as others. Some of us aren't as learned as others. We can still talk. We can relate to them from where we're at and from what we've experienced. Sometimes people ponder, you know, oh, I've had such a rough life. Nothing ever goes easy for me. You know, God might be able to use that. You can relate to someone who has experienced something like that better than someone who hasn't. So even if things haven't been all roses and sunshine for you, you can use words and relate to folks and help them along life's pathway. You can speak hope, speak peace, you can speak love, you can inspire, encourage, you can reassure people, you can comfort people. You have that power. It is within you. Each and every day you have that. Now Jesus taught his disciples, he talked about being the bread of life. And in John chapter 6, and in verse 68, after he gave this sermon about being the bread of life to his disciples, he said he had some of the disciples left him. Feel free to read that on your own. But he was giving him the very difficult sermon or teaching, and some of the disciples left. They departed from him at this time. And he turned to Simon and the other disciples and he said, "Are you too going to leave me?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life." So Peter recognized the fact that Christ's words are the words of life. So it's a rather short sermon, my friends, so I am a man of few words. I'm going to stick to that. So I will encourage you to testify of the fact that the love that God has for you and the love he's shown for you. Testify of his peace, of his hope. Use your words to inspire people and to lift people up. Share in life's journey. Be the light that others need. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to life. Tell others of Jesus and his love. If you haven't had that love, if you haven't had the opportunity to have Jesus as your Savior, to be baptized into his church and to be part of the family of God, we have an opportunity tonight. You can come forward as we sing, and we'll pray with you, and we'll tell you the words of life. We'll share with you that, and we'll draw you into the family of God, and Christ will add you to his number. If you've strayed from that, the words of life, if you've neglected your calling, if you need the prayers of the church for whatever reason, feel free to come forward as we stand and sing. And we will be glad to administer to you.